Okay, Las Culturistas.
Now, you might be wondering why we did a little bit of a different intro right there.
Because we're doing a little bit of a different intro right now.
Right now, right here. And this is a very special episode.
Yes, we're currently, you're just listening to me and Matt at the Forever Dog Studio. No guests.
No guest.
And we're doing like a little sort of, you know,
a primer.
I guess.
Is that the right word?
Not really.
I was going to say prime up. Well, I guess. And that's not a thing at all.
Primer sort of works. Like in the chemical sense, like we're priming up the episode.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Okay, the chemical sense.
Absolutely. So
I always am.
You're always thinking in the chemical sense.
Yeah.
So we're just doing a little intro off the top for this very special guest that we have.
You guys, we traveled to West Nyack, the center of the world.
Yes.
To meet and have a Las Culturistas interview with the one and only Margaret Cho.
Margaret. So Margaret is on tour right now for her Fresh Off the Bloat tour, stand-up tour. She's, you know, that's the thing about Margaret. She's always been working. Like she's just been here this whole time.
Yeah.
Which is so cool. So, you know, like we had like a little sort of in with her. And so we decided to hit her up and see if she was available. She said yes. Which was a gag. And she said, she asked if she could have her boyfriend, Rocco Stowe, who also opens for her on the tour.
Very funny.
To be in the interview as well. And we said, of course. Mm-hmm. And he was lovely. And yeah. you'll hear that. It was a good time.
It was a really good time. We went up there and I don't know. I think I've said this before on the show, but Margaret is truly one of my heroes. And you'll see just how restrained I am in the episode. I think it's about 30 seconds in that I blow my load to her and tell her that she was my hero.
You did it right off the top.
I really couldn't help it because we were like downstairs in the hotel while the boys were setting up for the episode, and I'm like rearranging the chairs in the lobby, like cleaning the hotel lobby.
I've never seen someone pace like that in my life.
I was so nervous.
You were nervous, but you were about to meet one of your idols.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you'll hear more about that in the episode, but it was like one of those things. It was like,
yeah.
I think it was like I was coming around to the fact that like how gagged my 13-year-old self would be.
Totally.
It's just so like that.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a big moment for the show, for us,
culture. Yeah.
So it's a really great interview. Gosh, what else is there to say?
I think there's nothing more to say.
There is nothing more.
I think at this moment is when we toss it over to ourselves.
Oh my God.
And then you're going to get the regular intro that you crave.
Yes.
I know you guys all have blue little balls at home.
Your little blue balls.
I know you have your little blue balls. I know how bad it hurts. You aching balls.
Matt is scowling right now.
I'm excited for you guys to hear this.
So it's so fun. So enjoy our interview with Margaret Cho.
Look, Matt.
Where?
Oh, I see. Wow.
My, oh my.
Bowen, look over there.
Wow, is that culture? Yes.
Oh my goodness.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Las Culturistas.
Ding dong, Las Culturistas calling.
And we're Johnny and Juning it right now on this mic because we've had some technical difficulties, but
Yeah,
we're adapting.
But no, Hot Engineer Will is on the Zoom right now. He's doing great work. He's pinching the dials. I don't know what it's called.
And he looks really good, which is most important. I've done, I think, a decent job of maintaining my chill today.
Oh, I think you have. You've been
our guest and guests by proxy don't know this, but I am a huge, huge, absolutely enormous fan.
Of course.
And I'm very excited about today.
Yes. And so they need no introduction at all. Just fantastic comedians. They're going on tour together for the Fresh Off the Bloat tour, coming to a city near you. They're winding down to their last city. So get your tickets, margaretcho.com/tour. Do that. Please welcome Rocco Stowe and Margaret Cho.
Hello. Thank you. That's so nice.
Okay. I just want to tell you, like, I was wondering when in the pod I would bring this up, but like you, when I was like 13, 14 years old, little gay boy on Long Island, I would just shut my door and just play your albums on repeat. And it was just like to have someone who was engaging with, I felt like, me and my sense of humor. No one else was doing that. And I just like, I love you.
I love you. Thank you. That's wonderful.
Yeah. I mean, look, I always said like it was two people I had to meet that like helped me in that period.
Sure.
And it's you and Kelly Clarkson. Haven't met her yet.
That's perfect.
That's good company.
I love it. That's a good combination.
Yeah. I would like to see that concert.
Sure. Yes.
That buddy cop film.
Yes,
that buddy cop film.
The heat too. Really, it really heats up.
It really
heats up.
You don't get hotter than that.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Will there be a heat too?
I liked it.
I like
the cold.
Yeah,
the lukewarm.
Yeah, they do it in Alaska.
Anchorage.
Yeah, that would be great.
Oh my god. Anyway, hi guys. How are you?
Great.
Good.
Great.
How's the tour? We talked a little bit before this, but how's the tour been? Tell everyone how that's been going.
It's been going great. Touring is really special, and just to be able to go to different places. It's like we've gone to where usually American comedians don't go, whether that's Scandinavia or even Asia, which was coming up.
Right.
So that's cool, to be doing this. It's exciting,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, she got like 4 standing O's in Europe, which is unheard of. I just want to brag for her.
Good.
They don't like to stand up. They're stingy. No, but that's really special, especially too because America is not so popular around the world.
Oh, I was wondering about that. And I would imagine you do discuss the situation in your act.
Yeah, of course. And it's great because we just followed Kathy Griffin because she just did this huge European tour.
Yeah.
So kind of coming through after her was really great. But I love it. I love touring. I think that, it's the one thing that is the regular part of my life because I've always done it for 35 years. So it's good.
I guess in that vein, with America just not being as well-regarded as it's
popular.
Been. Well, I mean, what has been your way of winning everybody over for both of you? What's been that gambit, you think? Do you have one?
I think it's just that you know that everybody's thinking the same thing. You know that we're all incredulous.
Yeah.
That we're all frustrated, that we're all scared, actually.
Yeah.
So I think that's what, if you kind of come at it with that, they get very they're excited to hear your perspective.
Totally.
Yeah. Are you feeling scared? How are you feeling right now about everything?
I don't understand.
It's crazy.
Also, I don't know why he doesn't just get a good weave.
Yeah.
He needs a
figure it the fuck out.
Yeah. A good, a balayage, a lace front.
Yeah.
Get a nice lace front and don't skimp on it.
Right.
Especially in the back.
Because he's got the money, allegedly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He
should just get shave it and then just get tan and do some juice and get some tats with some chains.
You know,
I think that would help him out.
Yeah, I think that would
take him through South Philly a little bit.
Yeah, I think that would be great.
Yeah. It would contextualize the Twitter a little bit more.
Yeah.
Then the spelling errors would look like
I wonder what his Second Life character is. If he has a Second Life character, that would be good.
Yeah.
That's it. That's a Second Life character. I feel like it would just track together more.
Yeah, I mean, at least now he has, sense to, go back and fix the errors in the spelling and everything. Did you see the Alec Baldwin tweet?
Yeah.
Alex Baldwin. Dying, D-I-E-I-N-G.
I know. Well, he's not doing it from... It's like an old Twitter app that he's using, so it doesn't have spell check or something.
Oh.
That's what... It's like a very... I think there's also old technology happening. He may be doing all of this on a BlackBerry.
Honestly, maybe that's it. Yeah.
Or Sidekick.
Sidekick!
I think he's using a Sidekick.
Yeah, I mean, that would track, too. A Sidekick, bald... I mean, tatted up, tanned fucking asshole. Just doing that.
Like somebody who could have been on Dog the Bounty Hunter.
Exactly. Yeah, right. Exactly.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. We were talking about your Asia date. Oh my god. We were talking about your Asia dates coming up, and I don't know, should we get into this? We were just talking about how just that gay culture there is sort of bubbling underneath the surface, and it's just still I get sad whenever I go back to China and I'm just wow, these people are just not fully, they're hiding on the apps, but they're not out there wearing sequins and shit. No,
in Korea for their gay pride celebrations, people wear masks. They don't take photographs. They aren't out. I have a lot of gay friends in Korea who are still incredibly closeted when it comes to their work, their families, in every aspect of their lives, and they don't share any of it on social media. Yeah. And they have a very kind of underneath kind of DL lifestyle, which is really rough.
Sure.
And so it's very emotional. But I think that kind of going over there and addressing that is really important. Right. So that totally makes it really good.
So do you don't change anything about what you do? You go in there and you give them
Margaret. Yeah, you have to just, because they're coming
to see that.
To see that. And oh, the last time I was in Singapore, this was crazy. I was like so aware that if you have weed, you'll die.
Oh,
they'll
my
execute
God.
You.
Oh my, so that's I was a real
like,
thing.
That's a real thing. So I was searching through all my bags and then I'm like, I hope I got rid of everything. And then so I went and I didn't get searched at customs. And 3 days after I got there, a roach fell out of my purse.
Oh, shit.
And I was like, oh my God, I could have died. But then I was really happy to have some weed.
Yeah, absolutely. So,
I don't smoke pot anymore, but that at that point was very important. And so, but yeah, it's a scary country. They flog people.
Don't if you throw gum, don't they give you the death penalty or something?
Well, if you, that was what happened to that American young boy. Like he was in college or whatever, and he went over there and he threw garbage at a car. Didn't even hit the car. He just threw garbage at a car and he had to be flogged. He had, he was caned and public, there was like a rattan cane soaked in water.
You gotta be kidding.
No, this was like a huge international scandal because America was like, you can't do that. This is one of our citizens. This is torture. They're like, we don't care.
He threw trash.
It was a wet rattan cane and was like a wrinkled Asian woman.
Yeah. Bringing
the law down.
Smokey the Bear from hell comes out, you know?
It's so crazy. But some people think of these places as like paradises, like but really there's underneath there's quite a lot of stuff that we don't understand is totally. And I think in Singapore too, I think it's actually still illegal to be gay.
Right,
actually against the law
for it to be such a progressive like neo-cosmopolitan
state, in a lot of ways it's a huge shopping hub too. So it's all shopping malls and the highest level of like lifestyle you could imagine, but it's also everything is a conglomerate, everything is a shopping mall, everything is a mega church,
right?
It's all of these very sort of big entities that are kind of on top of each other financially, and sort of with the social conservatism too. It's very strange.
So when you say it's like illegal to be gay there, like to be caught explicitly in the act of gayness?
I guess.
Or like, are they waiting outside the show being like, all right, let's let them roll on in.
There's like that thing, like, I guess in Texas, there's still laws on the books about sodomy. Ooh, you know, these sort of laws that if they wanted to enforce them, they would. But they don't just because...
It's a cultural thing that's just like there. You're there. It's on display. You're there to look at it, but it's not really being...
Yeah.
I see.
Brock, have you done the Asia trip yet?
I haven't done the Asian trip yet, but it's interesting the things you have to hide being Chinese. Like I did a meditation camp and the whole meditation camp was Chinese because they'll get killed trying to meditate, learn this technique. So I was the only white guy in there. Everybody else was from China.
Wow.
Yeah, and that was in northern California.
Whoa.
So I mean, they have to hide everything. You know,
was it like a Falun Gong type of thing or no?
It was a Vipassana.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, cool. Is just a non-sectarian scientific technique.
And so
they classify it with Buddhism. Which is not. It's the teachings of the Buddha, but it's not Buddhism.
There is some sort of like political consequence.
They'll get killed for it out there. God. Yeah,
well,
definitely.
Like I went to Tibet. And so you know, which is China.
Yeah.
And, you know, going through to even get to the country, they take apart all of your books this is before Kindle. So I actually had books and books, books with paper. And they would look through to make sure there's no photographs of the Dalai Lama.
Wow.
And you cannot have any images of him in any capacity. You can't even say his name. They call it him HH. This is His Holiness. You can't say anything about their form of Buddhism, and it's incredibly crazy, like the persecution that they go through, these Buddhists. You know, you'd think Buddhists wouldn't have to go through persecution, but they do.
Wow.
It's crazy.
Wow.
This is insane. I was like panicking, packing my vape pen to fly to like Iowa City. I was like, I'm gonna be put in prison. No.
Can't we just do the tour in Chinatown?
I think vape pens you can take anywhere. Although, Asia, I don't know. But Iowa City's fine.
Iowa City's okay. I lost mine this morning. I was on my hands and fucking knees looking for it. I think it's gone.
That's the worst.
It's really bad.
The worst.
I was in a bad mood all day today because I was half hungry and half my vape pen was lost.
Oh. So sad.
It's not good.
No.
And also, they're like $80.
They're really expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're just clutch to have. I guess the way I was, to give away all my secrets, the way I was packing it was they were in my toiletries. I just put them apart. But yeah, who the fuck is going to stop you?
Yeah, that's, yeah. I mean, it's fine. And also, yeah, it's pretty much going to be legal everywhere.
Yeah.
You know?
It's just a matter of time, right? Yeah. I'm leaning into the mic. I'm sorry. We are really Johnny and June.
We're Johnny and June-ing it. I would like to go to California just because, like, we were just talking about LA. We would like to shout out LA's Joel Kim Booster right now. We want to say hello to him. He's decided to leave us permanently for Los Angeles, where the weed is much better. Yeah. I feel. And I'm sure he's enjoying himself out there.
Yeah.
The weed is really, I mean, it's another level.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Of excellence, you know.
Sure.
Because and it's also legal. Like, it's so weird that in West Hollywood, all of the marijuana dispensaries had huge lines around the block for people. Like, it was crazy. And, you know, it still is. It's the highest end dispensaries, the craziest, like, it's the quality is insane.
Okay, so it's no longer that you need a medical reason. So you just can go get it.
Yeah. Right, you go, you just get whatever. You get what you want. It's crazy.
That's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, I mean, I think it has increased the sobriety checkpoints.
Oh,
for sure. Yeah, There's a lot more of them.
Yeah.
People are like, everybody's fucked up.
Yeah.
But you don't deal with that anymore. There's no
well, I don't. I mean, I don't, but I appreciate the commerce. I like stuff like that. I like the innovation. I was actually in the marijuana business this is a long time ago. This is probably like 9 or 10 years ago where I had this business that was... it was like edible arrangements, but it was marijuana. So it was Cannabasket.
Ah,
and you could send gifts.
It could have just been called edible arrangements.
Yeah, I know. Really. Exactly. It could be the same thing. But you would send gifts, you know, and I never actually, I did prototypes where I would make like little art projects that I have like an art kind of pipe with like, you know, little Japanese shunga. Like big beads that had Japanese erotica and painted. And then there was like marijuana, and then there would be a lighter, and then maybe an apple, like something that's sort of, you know, like green in there.
Yeah,
like
cute shit.
Something nice, all wrapped in like raffia.
Wow.
Oh my God.
It was very Martha Stewart, like very fabulous. But then it was like the legality of it at that point was too hard to negotiate. Like, I didn't know how to navigate that world. Mm. And even now, it's still very legally very strange. And a lot of people are trying to get in the business now.
Yeah.
But it's still federally, it's illegal.
Right.
So it's a very difficult business.
It's a weird one.
I remember the first time I did the California weed. It was so Guido's. I was like turning like a super Guido on weed.
Because that's what.
Yeah, yeah. So it started coming out. My buddy started talking about Febreze, and I was like so stoned. I couldn't figure out what Febreze was. And he goes, Febreze. I go, yeah, like the month. November's, December's, January's, Febreze. God.
Incorrect.
March.
Yeah.
Never smoked it again after
it'll
that.
It'll put you in a different state.
Yeah, no, man. After that, I was trying to, I thought Febreze was a month. You know, that's enough. I'm good.
Yeah.
I don't need
you gotta
to. I
got
to stay away from that, you know?
But see, you're from Philly. I'm from Long Island. So I want to ask you this. Like, we talked a little bit before, my like whole upbringing, everyone started drinking at like age 11, like in the suburbs. It's like you have a vocabulary for like going out and drinking, like young. And then when I moved to New York City for college, like I met a lot of people from California. They all had this vocabulary for weed that like was not a part of my childhood. Were you just like a drinker in high school?
I started drinking and smoking weed at 10.
Okay.
But we didn't really call it like what they call it in California.
Yeah, you know? Right.
They have all those weird terms, trees and all that. You know?
Yeah. I don't know. I wish I almost wish I had started smoking earlier because maybe I wouldn't have drank as much in high school. And I feel like, I don't know, with the drinking age being like 21, it's like, fuck that, because being drunk and getting on the road, you're gonna fucking do so much more damage than if you sit at home and smoke weed.
Right.
It was like an hors d'oeuvre. Like I would drink and then the weed would be like an, like you take a couple hits. It wasn't like the main, you know, course.
It wasn't the main event.
Yeah, it was just like the extra.
So Matt just generalized with abandon that people from California have built-in vocabulary for weed. Margaret, did you grow up with that vocabulary? Like, holistically, was it like weed and alcohol? Like, was like, I mean,
yeah,
what was
I
that
mean,
like?
It was, yeah, definitely. But our weed was terrible in the 80s and 90s. The weed was like really bad, like Mexican dirt weed. Mm. Do we get was all steeds and stems.
Yeah.
And it was just awful. Wasn't good. And then I became friendly with Brownie Mary, who in San Francisco was an AIDS activist, and she was making pot cookies for people in hospice so that they could start eating.
So they would get
the munchies and eat, and they would all become better. She was arrested so many times, but she was really a true, I mean, what a, like a Mother Teresa, like a
doing
real
good for the world.
Saint.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And really helping all of these men who are dying enjoy their last days, you know? So it was really special. So that's when I sort of got hooked in with the right people.
Yeah.
The power stoners.
Yes.
That's when I became friends with
them. To join their ranks.
Yes. You, then you get, you know, you're hanging out with having Thanksgiving with Snoop Dogg. And,
oh, fuck.
And, you know, going on tour with Cheech and Chong and Cypress Hill. And, you know, that's sort of the different kind of like, you're in a different level.
Yeah.
So I got, we got in trouble 1 year for smoking pot in Radio City Music Hall. I was with very famous stoners who, they're still in the closet. I can't actually say.
It's a closet of stoners.
But we got, I thought that we, because they were so famous, I thought we were not going to get in trouble. We got kicked out.
Oh,
and
shit.
We were doing a show there. And it was like so bizarre because we got in trouble. But, you know, can't mess with these institutions.
But this is when?
This was in 2005.
Oh, so it wasn't even...
It wasn't like, that long ago.
Jeez.
It wasn't that long ago. So it was very... I mean, it was still very kind of outlaw to be doing that. But now I think it's different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So these are famous stoners that we don't know are stoners.
That you don't know are stoners.
That must be a trip to find out that they are stoners.
Yeah.
That's
then
fun.
You go, oh, a lot of things make sense.
Yeah.
You go, oh.
Yeah.
So I would give, like, there was some people who were coming down and doing my show. I used to be on the show on Lifetime, and we shot in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. So I would give them pot lollipops on their private plane. So they would come and be on the show. So that was, like, my way to get people to come and be a guest star.
Yeah.
Was this Drop Dead Diva?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I just wanted to confirm.
That means we can guess.
We have
some
one
people.
You can
look
through all of the people that were on there.
Oh, we're going to be going through the IMDb.
Our fact checkers.
Right after this.
I mean.
It's a relief to me. Like, I know you don't smoke now, but it's always like a relief to me to find out that someone smokes weed. I'm like, okay, cool. We can like break through whatever garbage and like. Get real.
It is. It's nice. I mean, I like, you know, it. when you have that thing, like, and most comedians are stoners.
Yeah.
In general, like, that's the one drug that has a very kind of like almost all comics have experience with it.
Right.
It's something to do with being on the road and that lifestyle, and you know, just that we don't really do a lot. Comedians don't do that much during the day, except we'll travel. But then, you know, you have a lot of empty time.
Sure. Totally. Totally. How have, just like, now I just kind of want to talk about like the content of this new show.
Which fresh is off the bloat.
Fresh off the bloat. We were reading your release and that you quoted your grandmother as saying that you looked bloated like you were found at the bottom of a lake after days of searching.
So visual.
After, I mean, that's the way that Asian people are. They really tell it like it is. Yeah. Like, you look like you've been dragged from a river, which is totally legitimate. You know, I have had periods of looking very, very rough and decaying and decomposing.
But is it like, I agree with you because, you know, I've had to live with that. But it is like, I keep going back and forth on whether or not that was a useful candor. In Asian culture.
Yeah, right? Because, you know, they want to remark on, like, how terrible you look. That's really all it is. You know, it's something that the Asian people just do to each other.
Sure.
You know, it's a family thing.
Is it, okay, Rocco, is that, like, a Philly Italian thing at all? Or
well, no? We have the food reward system. Like if they eat, everybody gets excited. Oh my God, look at him eating. He looks so good. It's like, I got high blood pressure. I'm 11, you know, stop feeding me, you know? Yeah. And then you go to the beach and everybody's like, get your fat ass out of the way, Rocco. Wow. And now you're like, I'm fat. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. You know, I was like 250 at one point, you know? God. I mean, I had like big arms, but I had the big belly, the big, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you're just localizing everything in one place, which is not necessarily a bad thing.
Yeah, no, my mom's friends were always very passive aggressive. It was always, you look thin.
You look tired. You look tall.
Yeah, and it's like, what the fuck? It's like, exactly. It's supposed to be a bad thing. It's like, but it's somehow it's always negative.
Yeah, every time I gain weight, I met my Aunt Teresa, you look so healthy. Look, I'm like, oh, wow. I was in a Speedo healthy. And everybody's like, get your fat ass. I'm like, Aunt Teresa, you told me, you know. She's like, don't listen to them. I'm like, I'm listening
to
them.
It's always the aunts.
Yeah.
They feel entitled to it.
Is there ever like a happy middle ground for any culture? Like, it just sounds like we're just built, and every human is built to like, is, you know, wired to comment on something either
way. I
think
so. And then there's also social media too. Sort of like just the trolling, it never ends. It's actually gotten worse.
It's gotten worse. I just had to leave Facebook. I'm fucking done with it.
Oh yeah, I don't do
everything like, so I was talking about that on stage last night. Everything's so judgy now. It's like people come over to my house, they're like, you're OCD. I'm like, why? Because I fold my shirts?
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? I clean my bathroom and now I'm not a scumbag. And now I'm OCD. Why can't I just have a clean place? No,
you're a grown functional adult.
Exactly.
That's what that is.
OCD is when you like keep scrubbing everything over and over again, you know?
You keep scrubbing. Fuck them, Rocco.
Yeah.
You live your goddamn life. Keep it nice.
Stop giving me a label.
So, like, do you do Twitter? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I like Twitter and I like Instagram. I mean, it's, I've never done Snapchat. I don't know even.
Oh, I think Snapchat. That boat's sailed.
Is it?
Yeah.
I don't even understand how it works, but.
It's very, very, very hard to figure out.
It's purposefully esoteric. It's like you're not supposed to know how to use it correctly.
Yeah.
By design, which just makes it.
Seriously?
Like, yeah, like there's never like an onboarding process. They never teach you how to use it, right?
No,
it's like, you open the app and it's just like, okay, now go and figure this out on your own. That's why I think it's failing.
Yeah.
But the show, I feel like, is this show in particular more personal, more confessional than other ones? Like,
I don't think so. I think it's just a different place in my life. You know, like I love it because it's very current. You know, we get a lot into like Me Too because I'm so Me Too. I am also.
Same.
I'm so like same. Yeah. Hashtag same. So it's like very, it's great actually because it's really cathartic and it's fun to talk about all those issues because before you know, like everybody was so mad at like Daniel Tosh for talking about rape, you know, and that there was this thing, well, like, comedians talk about rape? And I'm like, yeah, you can if you're a survivor. Mm-hmm. It's actually really legitimate and really important.
Absolutely.
So that's a good jumping off point for what's happening in the show. But there's a lot of other stuff, of course, Trump and a million other things. So it's good.
Nice.
I actually have had, when I told a couple of my friends that I was coming here, a couple of my female comic friends said that hearing you talk about this stuff in your act empowered them to do the same thing.
Oh, that's good.
And that they felt like themselves again in their set.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. So I think
really
it is.
Good.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, I think it's a historic moment, you know, we can actually get into this other stuff and really kind of utilize comedy for the catalyst for change that it should always be.
Exactly.
So yeah, like she's coming from a place of authenticity and direct experience on the actual level where a guy like Tosh is like, he's just trying to get away with the rape joke to prove how genius he is.
But then like rubs salt in the wound by like insisting that the rape joke is like works.
Exactly.
And is
where it's not really coming from this personal place where with her, it's part of her.
Totally.
So it works and it helps others.
But it's like when James Corden is talking about Harvey Weinstein, you know, you can't really poke fun at it if you're not within the experience.
Totally.
And so there's a huge backlash around that.
Right.
Yeah. Well, it'll be interesting. This will air right after the Oscars, but now all this Seacrest shit is coming out, which who knows? But now they're actually, I think I saw maybe it was on Marin, but Jennifer Lawrence was asked, will you allow Seacrest to interview you? And she was like, oh, I didn't know it was like that far.
Yeah.
Yeah. It'll be interesting.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I don't know anything really about that. I mean, I think that it's like one of those things where what happens to the men who are accused? Like what goes forth? Like people even like Aziz or TJ Miller, like what goes on after, you know, with like Louis C.K. It seems kind of finite, although that's almost like we don't know about that either.
But even then, like that's sort of a toss up. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. And then why is Woody Allen's movies like the, why did you know, like he seems to be unaffected.
Right.
And it's a family job. It was like Ronan Farrow who broke everything down.
Right.
This is all in the family. This is a very specific kind of, it's almost like a, it's almost like some sort of Greek tragedy or something.
Exactly.
Totally. Like it this sort of out of mythology, all of it.
Yeah.
So who knows? We'll have to see what happens. But so the show is really kind of about tracking that too.
Nice. Yeah.
And observing it and trying to make sense of it.
Totally. You've always said, just going back to your thing about comedy being this catalyst for change, you've always said that comedians are sort of the best equipped to message something without sounding preachy about it. And I think that's always been your biggest strength.
I think it's
good. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's it's so good. Cool. Thank you. I love that. You know, but it's also weird when comedians don't have a progressive outlook. That freaks me out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like that, like... Dennis Miller, that freaks me out.
Yeah, it's crazy.
But I mean, that kind of thing puts such a low ceiling on how, like, not relatable, but just how subversive they can be, which is not their goal. But it's like, okay, well, if you're fucking, I'll say like Larry the Cable Guy, it's like, you're not going to like actually break out of like, you're not going to advance your art forward.
If that's not what you do, no one's
superintendent.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. If that's not what you do, that's not what you do. Like when everyone was like, kind of like, I thought the Fallon thing with having Trump on, I thought it was kind of stupid. Mm-hmm. Like that he ruffled his hair. But then when everyone was like, we expect more, it's like, it's what? Jimmy Fallon.
I know,
dude.
Jimmy Fallon. Like,
it's like he fucking plays beer pong.
Yeah.
It's not Colbert.
No, it's, and even Colbert is allowed to be silly.
Yeah.
You know, Colbert has a great silly side to him too, which is really one of the great things about him is that he does have this highbrow sensibility, but also can really hit below the belt and also be very ridiculous. And I love that.
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing wrong with being silly.
Yeah.
No, not at all.
It's like, it's funny when like, even like, and also then the pull quotes I have a problem with too. Like when Seinfeld was like, the college campuses are PC, so I don't do them. It's like, we don't see what the rest of what he said. He could have been saying it in jest. It's
Yeah, and he is, you know, Jerry's so funny too. Like he's just, there's a much more complete thought.
Exactly.
There of course. Yeah.
Than what is just pulled out.
He's not media savvy enough to like just let that slip out and like be the pull quote, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah.
No, the dumb people are the ones that are like, look how dumb this is.
Mm. Totally. Totally.
That's social media.
Yeah.
That's why we say no to Facebook.
Yeah.
That's my Me Too.
That's your Me Too. You deleted your Facebook account, didn't you? And then you moved everything over to the page. Because I remember when we were friends on Facebook.
Yeah.
Just in a very casual manner.
Yeah.
Then
I
think you made the right call in terms of like shutting down the personal account.
Well, I just don't, I don't have anything to say there.
Sure. No, totally.
You know, it's a weird one where I'm like, what am I doing? And I was spending a lot of time on it for, I don't know why.
Because
I
don't know why. Either.
I don't know what was so, I don't know.
Well, at least Twitter, it's like, it reminds you to shut up. Mm-hmm. Twitter, it's like, this is a limit to the amount of words. And it's like, okay, shut the fuck up now.
Yeah.
It's like,
that's all you need to
this
say.
This is enough.
Yeah, I have friends that I'm like, I would love to like write a movie and put them in it, but because they're a Facebook post, I'm like, I can't ever use
no
you.
Way.
Like, why would you say that?
Yeah.
Like, that's in the world forever.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's only a bad thing.
Yeah.
Facebook has ruined these opportunities for these friends.
Yeah.
I do like the movie The Social Network.
I do like that movie.
I will always stand by Facebook existing because it gave us that movie.
That was a good movie.
It's fucking good.
Yeah, it's a good movie.
And that was, you know who I like? And this was her first thing? Rooney Mara.
Oh, adorable. Yes.
Yes.
So good.
So good.
Totally.
So cute. Yeah.
I'm a fan of the Mara girls.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Even Kate. And a lot of people, they don't love Kate. I love myself some Kate Mara.
Mm-hmm.
I've said this before. I know I like Kate Mara. Well, I'm about to bring up House of Cards. little swing around there. I knew I liked her when she got pushed in front of the subway in House of Cards, mm-hmm. and I felt horrible.
Oh,
I was
yeah.
like, oh, mm. wow. And she wasn't like a good character either. I was like, sure. it was because Kate.
Oh, she made that. She made
it was because of Kate. She made it for me.
She made yeah. it. That's so weird that show is going to come back. I'm glad
yeah.
that the show is going right. to go on
right.
without him, which is so, I mean, I don't know. Is Transparent going on without?
I think it is.
It is.
Yeah. And then there was like a brief moment in time where he was like back. Mm-hmm. And then now he's not officially now not.
Yeah.
But
the investigation closed.
And he's very salty about it. Sure. Like yeah. he's out there giving sound bites.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which, yeah. I mean, I guess that's like a consequence too, right? It's like of the whole movement, it's like, oh, well.
Yeah.
These people do sort of have some finite.
It's gotta be. It's gotta be hard when you're like Seacrest too, and you have to be out there literally every day. Like he's on mm-hmm. like Kelly and Ryan, and I think the other mm-hmm. day, like they didn't even bring it up, and Kelly Ripa just turned to him and was like, "I just want to let you know, I love working with you."
Yeah,
and he was like, "Mm-hmm." Yeah. It's like this like weird moment. Happiness.
Like that. I yeah, it's weird. You know, because everybody else is kind of a little bit at the end of their career, whether it's. Somebody, you know, like Charlie Rose or Garrison right. Keillor even. Oof. Or
he was just at a show in L.A. Joel just did a show with him in L.A.
Oh, Garrison Keillor.
And it was like a crowd yeah. that was there for Garrison Keillor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's what? Like that there's people I don't know. Like, well, Bill Cosby's out doing shows.
Sure. Yeah, yeah. I saw that he just did a show.
In Philly,
doing
shows. Too, right?
Yeah. Yeah, he's doing shows.
Crazy. Right. Hot Producer Joe's like, no, he's like, yeah. from Philly, too. But yeah, it's. I don't know. It's
their audiences don't go away.
I know.
I mean,
mm-hmm. that's the thing. But
the core fans.
I mean, look at OJ still signing autographs, making tons of money off autographs. There's like this weird kind of, you know, like, mysterious mystique or something that people just want to see the freak show or
it's
something.
It's a deprivation thing where it's like they haven't been, seen Cosby in forever and they just want to. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, it's a zoo.
It's a zoo.
Now they can afford to see him. The tickets are cheaper. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. well, this is great. So everyone, please go check out Rocco and Margaret and the Fresh Off the Bloat tour. They're finishing up their America dates.
And everyone go back and fucking listen to all the albums.
Oh, yes.
Because if you haven't listened to all the albums, you don't get it.
They're so
and
good.
Just go. Change.
Four
like I said, just yeah. truly change my life because I was like, same. What the fuck? Why is nothing funny?
Yeah.
And then like you made me laugh in a real way because
oh,
I was
so
like,
glad.
Oh gosh. I mean, it was like.
And you hear this all the time, but like.
Do
I'm
you
sure-
hear it all the time?
I think it's great. I mean, I think it's really nice too, you know? Yeah. It's really nice.
But I guess what I'm asking is like, do you like do like younger gays, like do they come up and appreciate you for what you
oh,
have
for sure.
done?
Yeah, yeah, it's wonderful.
I was gonna say you might hear this all the time, but of just in terms of and representation, blah blah blah. But like in terms of Asian people, that was I mean, Margaret was like one of the only examples for a very long time about Asian people in show business that who didn't have to like know a martial art to like succeed. You know what I'm saying? Like, that was a huge
yeah,
deal. It was
good.
Huge.
Well, thank you.
But yeah.
Really thank good. You.
Anyway, should we do a quick round of I Don't Think So, Honeys? We'll do a quick round.
Okay.
We're going to do a quick round of okay. I Don't Think So, Honey, which, yeah. by the way, y'all should definitely. I can't believe I sometimes say y'all. That's a Kelly Clarkson thing. That's me being an 11-year-old, 12-year-old, seeing her say y'all, and it became a part of my life. I'm from Long Island.
Yeah,
it's
they don't say that.
That's so
yeah.
great.
Yeah,
it's Margaret and Kelly for this boy.
So you all should buy tickets to our show. It's on March 16th. I Don't Think So, Honey, live at the Bell House. You guys, amazing people are going to be on it. Just to name a few, Dulce Sloan, Jacqueline Novak. Come on, babe. Who else?
Oh, my God. Nathan Lee Graham.
Oh, fucking Nathan Lee Graham.
Just
I love
New York.
More to be announced very soon.
Great. So this is I Don't Think So, Honey. It's 1 minute to go off on culture while repeating the phrase, I don't think so, honey. Matt, you want to start? Yeah, I think you have something.
I have a vague idea, but that's okay. I'll let passion lead the way.
Okay, all right. This is Matt Rogers' I Don't Think So, Honey. His time starts now.
I don't think so, honey. You don't respond to my emails. They're always important. If you open the email and like it's like a long block of text, it's important. Email, like, respond to my emails. I could be asking you something very important. I could be in a lot of trouble. I don't know if my instinct would be to take to email if I was ever in a life or death situation, but it could be. Please read and respond to my emails. Everyone, when you don't respond to my email, it makes me feel small. And I feel...
30 seconds.
That's amazing that it's 30 seconds yeah. left. This was such a simple one.
No, but you gotta keep going.
Okay. So listen... I feel like, especially recently, we've been asking people to come out and do our live show. You could be missing out on the opportunity to have a 1 minute of your evening on a stage. I mean, also, like, let me just tell all the comics we're asking. Well, you know, it's 1 minute, but it's going to be on a podcast and people are going to listen to it. So understand that this is important. Please respond to my emails. Thank you.
And that's 1 minute.
Oh, boy. See, the thing was, I was so, like, engaged in my idea as I was getting my emails ignored that that's where I put all my energy. And not
you were living through the pain again. Totally.
Hey, that's okay.
That's okay. That's okay.
All right. This is Bowen Yang's I Don't Think So, Honey. His time starts now.
I Don't Think So, Honey. Diners that don't have Cholula. We were just eating at this diner here in West Nyack. Lovely diner, Hogan's Diner. But they did not have Cholula hot sauce or even a Sriracha or a Crystal Louisiana's Finest. They didn't have the actual hot sauces that I want. And I think to be in the restaurant business nowadays in the food service industry, you have to have these options in terms of something as ubiquitous as hot sauce. So I Don't Think So, Honey. These restaurant, any dining establishment that does not have a panoply of hot sauces, shall I say.
30.
And so, listen, here's what I want. I want things that range throughout the Scoville scale of hotness. I want things that will give me something vinegary, but other times things that are give me the ghost pepper, you know, spiciness that's coming from the esophagus up.
Yes,
it's an aftertaste, that ghost pepper. So I Don't Think So, Honey. These restaurants that don't have all these hot sauces. I am a sophisticated bitch. That's 1 minute.
That's okay. 1 minute. That was a good one. That one had texture. You can go on.
No,
about
please,
it.
Please.
And you were nodding.
I was really into it. I know that feeling.
Thank you.
I know
thank
that feeling.
You. Just to be deprived of options. Mm-hmm.
I used to work at a seafood restaurant that had the walls lined with hot sauce. So if you want hot sauce, go to Brooklyn Crab in Red Hook, New York.
Rocco.
Well, that's a good area.
You like that?
Yeah.
He works there.
It's a really good, one of the best sandwich places. Dante's? Is it Dante's?
I believe
it
is.
Yeah, it's been there since like 1887 or something.
Have you been there since 1887?
I think so. Yes, Italian immigrants came.
Come on,
They call everything gravy, which I like because where I'm from in Philly, we call gravy. The sauce gravy.
Yeah.
Everything's gravy. Red gravy, brown gravy, you know, blush gravy, beige gravy. Everything's gravy. Just gravy. It's all hell gravy because,
Nice. So. Okay, Rocco, we're going to put you on the clock for 1 minute just for anything at all.
They go
you guys
either
are
way
so
every
good
time.
At it, man.
No,
you guys
please.
Are so good at it.
This is just what we do in this business. Okay, all right.
I Don't Think So, Baby. Is that what it is?
I Don't Think So, Honey. Whatever spin you want to put on. This is Rocco
Lean
Stowe.
Lean into that LGBT inside you.
Okay.
Yes, Rocco Stowe's I Don't Think So, Honey. His time starts now.
I Don't Think So, Honey. That belt and them shoes, they don't match. You know, how come I'm a straight guy and I'm looking at you going, you need to updo your fashion? I Don't Think So, Honey. Why is the planes that you fly on so disgusting? We should all boycott with picket signs before we get in the plane. I have a rash on the small of my back. It's lumpy and it's from these planes. They're so disgusting. There's urine on the seats. I got to go in there with Windex and clean it off. I Don't Think So, Honey. We're paying $8,000 a month for tickets, and we can't get a clean bathroom on an airplane. I Don't Think So, Baby. Why the FBI spend 30,000 hours on the NCAA and only 5 hours on the Florida shooting? What is going on? Why is the FBI talking to college basketball?
5 seconds.
And don't buy anything. Read stuff with raspberry. I Don't Think So, Baby. Raspberry flavoring on stuff because it's actually beaver piss.
Damn,
secretions. That's 1 minute. Minute. And multiple topics and many items of knowledge learned.
Thank you, Rocco.
That's good.
I didn't know that about raspberry flavoring.
Yeah,
what?
It's like beaver piss that they it tastes like raspberry, so they say natural raspberry flavors.
That'd be fucking cool.
Yeah,
cleaning.
So look at the labels.
And
on
beaver
stuff.
Piss will always have a little bit of beaver cum in it.
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
true.
If you're into it, I mean.
If you're into
it. Some people are into it, you know.
Okay, Margaret, are you ready
I'm
for
ready.
Your minute? This is Margaret Cho's I Don't Think So, Honey. Her time starts now.
I Don't Think So, Honey. I'm never going to go on a juice fast. I'm never. No. That is just a recipe for disaster. Shit enough as it is.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm constantly shitting, but you know, you add some lemon juice and cayenne pepper and maple syrup B onto that. It's not going to be pretty. It's like
30 seconds.
When you shit on a juice fast kind of cleanse. Like it takes all of the shit for that kind of holds you together. Like that's that's keeping you upright. You know, like I think that's what that keeps our posture good is the shit that's like caked in your intestines. Yeah. It just keeps you standing up. So if you want to be an invertebrate, if you want to just have no bones, you go on a fast. But
and
I'm
that's
not.
That's 1 minute. Oh my God.
Your shit gives you poise.
Your shit keeps you upright.
That's why they call the undergarments poise.
Poise.
I was just listening to you talk about Dancing with the Stars, about how that vocal coach made you swallow olive oil and you were shooting
the
olive
fine
oil straight
mist.
Up out of your ass.
Yes, yeah. A fine mist.
I think Margaret is one of the preeminent fecal comedians all time.
Always
but
talking.
You will talk about your shit in a way that is actually very, very liberating and refreshing.
That's good.
Sexy.
Thank you.
And sexy.
Yeah, sexy.
Shit thank
is
sexy. You.
And I first learned what colonic irrigation was as a 13-year-old listening to
I love it.
You. Yes. And I was like, I have to know what that is. I'm not even sure I knew what you were talking about, but I knew that it interested me fecally, intellectually, sexually.
Interested you fecally. Absolutely.
Fecally.
Title of app. Okay, well, Margaret and Rocco have to go, but thank you so much for doing this.
Thank
this is
you.
So
it was
great.
It's really a pleasure to be on here. Thank you.
Thank you.
You guys are the best.
Pleasure.
Thank you.
So check out their show, Fresh Off the Bloat. And we'll see you next time.
Bye.
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 Forever Dog. This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.